Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This is continuing coverage of the case against Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Yes. Back to Lori Land we go. Picture this one. You are sitting in a courtroom watching someone who's already been convicted of murdering her own children suddenly show up in a wheelchair, claiming she's too sick to pick a jury for yet another murder conspiracy trial for the second day. Then, like magic, when the judge calls her bluff and orders the trial to proceed anyway, she mysteriously recovers enough to ditch the wheelchair and participate. Welcome to the surreal world of Lori Vallow Daybell, where even the courtroom drama feels like a poorly written soap opera that somehow keeps getting renewed for more seasons. Just happens that way. So here we are on June 4th, 2025. And the woman the media has dubbed the Doomsday Mom is back in Arizona in a courtroom for what might actually be her final curtain call. Please God. This isn't her first rodeo, and frankly, it's getting exhausting keeping track of all of her legal troubles. Think of it like a reality-twisted game of legal whack-a-mole, where every time one case gets resolved, another one pops up in a different state. This particular Arizona case involves allegations that she conspired with her late brother Alex Cox to murder Brandon Boudreaux, who happened to be her former nephew-in-law back in October of 2019. Now, if you're wondering why someone would allegedly want to kill her nephew-in-law, well, that's where the story gets even weirder. Brandon Boudreaux was married to Vallow Daybell's niece. Now, follow along here, kids. You may need a pen and paper. And apparently, in the twisted land and the theology that Daybell and her current husband, Chad Daybell, subscribed to, some people were considered dark spirits or zombies who needed to be eliminated. It's like they took a perfectly reasonable interest in preparedness and apocalyptic beliefs and then cranked it up to 11 until it became a murderous ideology. The whole thing reads like someone took a Doomsday Prepper manual, edited it with a Stephen King novel, and voila! There you go. Remix! But let's talk about what happened in court today. Not that a lot happened in court today, but it's actually pretty telling about how this whole saga has played out. Judge Justin Versky essentially told Vallow Daybell to cut the theatrics and get on with the trial. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office had evaluated her supposed illness and determined that while she might have had some minor medical issue, there was absolutely no reason she couldn't participate in court proceedings. It's kind of like when your coworker calls in sick but then posts Instagram stories from a music festival. The judge wasn't buying what she was selling. The real challenge today wasn't Vallow Daybell's alleged sniffles, though. It was finding 12 people plus alternates who haven't already formed an opinion about one of the most notorious criminal cases in the past decade. Think about trying to find 16 adults who haven't heard about the woman who allegedly killed her children and buried them in her husband's backyard. It's like trying to find people who haven't heard of the Kardashians. The court started with 295 potential jurors and could only advance 66 of them, with another 48 filling out questionnaires. It's a pretty stunning failure rate, and it speaks to just how deeply this case has penetrated public consciousness. What makes jury selection even trickier is that Vallow Daybell is representing herself, which is like watching someone perform surgery on themselves with a mirror and a butcher knife. The legal system generally allows defendants to represent themselves under the principle that it's better to let someone make their own mistakes than force representation on them. but it creates all sorts of procedural headaches. Today, she was asking for additional headsets for her advisory council during sidebar conferences, which sounds mundane, but actually highlights how complicated it gets when someone with no legal training tries to navigate a murder trial. The court also had to establish some pretty specific ground rules about what can and cannot be mentioned regarding Val O'Dayville's previous cases. They decided that her conviction for conspiring to murder her fourth husband, Charles Vallow, would only be referred to as an accident in Chandler in July 2019 involving Lori Vallow and Alex Cox. Oh, an incident, rather, not an accident. An incident. It's like trying to discuss a movie sequel without mentioning any of the previous films in the franchise. Everyone knows the backstory, but they have to pretend they don't. Speaking of backstory, it's worth remembering that this Arizona trial is essentially the final episode of a very long, very dark series, one that should have been canceled a long time ago. Val O'Dayville is already serving multiple life sentences in Idaho for killing her children, Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow, and for conspiring to murder Chad Daybell's previous wife, Tammy, you know, like you do. In April of 2025, she was also convicted for conspiring to murder Charles Vallow, her fourth husband. So this Brandon Boudreau case, it's like the bonus content on a DVD that nobody really needs but exists anyway for completeness. You know, like you'd find it like the dollar store. Like, what is this? I did not know that Family Ties had a feature film and they all went to space. What is that about? They're trying to compete with Michael J. Fox and Back to the Future, and they thought they'd do their own thing, and it didn't. I completely made that up. It does not exist, so don't try to search for it. But wouldn't it be fun if it did? The prosecution team, led by Deputy Prosecuting Attorney Trina Kay, had to be feeling a bit like they're beating a dead horse at this point. Val O'Dayville is already locked up for the rest of her natural life, several times over. But the legal system doesn't work on the principle of, close enough. Every alleged crime gets its day in court, which is, you know, it's actually a good thing, even when it feels redundant. Brandon Boudreau, the alleged target of this particular conspiracy, was in court today with his wife and a victim advocate, which serves as a reminder that behind all this legal maneuvering are real people whose lives were allegedly turned upside down by someone else's twisted beliefs. You're probably going and saying to yourself, oh my God, that's my life right now. What's particularly striking about today's proceedings is how they reveal the absurdity of someone who's already been convicted of multiple murders still trying to game the system with questionable illness claims. It's like watching someone who's already been caught cheating on a test try to convince a teacher they can't take the makeup exam because their dog ate their pencil. The performance aspect of it all just feels almost insulting to actual justice. The timetable for this trial is looking at a potential June 25th completion date. Knock on wood, maybe, hopefully. Assuming jury selection can actually be completed and the trial can proceed without further dramatics. It's your last stand, kids. She ain't going down without a fight. That would wrap up what has been a multi-year, multi-state legal odyssey that's captivated and horrified the public in equal measure. It's been like watching a real-life horror movie play out in slow motion across courtrooms in Idaho and Arizona. As this final chapter plays out, it's worth considering what the Lori Vallow Daybell case represents in the broader context of American crime and culture. This isn't just about one woman who allegedly committed terrible acts. It's about how extremist beliefs can metastasize into violence, how social media and modern communication can spread really dangerous ideologies, and how the justice system handles cases that capture public imagination. The fact that we're still talking about this case years later, that it's generated countless podcasts and documentaries and news articles, and probably feature films, and maybe a musical someday, and maybe, just maybe, a children's play that they can do in high school or maybe even elementary. Hey. Teach them early about these people. It speaks to something deeper about our collective fascination with trying to understand how ordinary people can allegedly do extraordinarily evil things. So as the jury selection continues and this final trial moves forward, it's inevitable. In this conclusion, I And remember, we're witnessing the end of a story that has already been told. And the real question left is whether the legal system can find 16 people who can set aside everything that they think and know about the forces solely on the evidence presented about this particular alleged conspiracy. In a world where everyone has an opinion and social media amplifies every voice, that might be the most challenging part of it all. We'll see what happens. I think Lori is actually going to be the most challenging part of it all at the end of the day, as she's already proving to be. What do you think? Tell me in the comment section here on YouTube, or if you're listening to us on any podcast platform, first hit subscribe there so you don't get lost in all the minutia and you find us again. And check out our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And yeah, everybody's talking about these cases. You are more than welcome to join in on that. So please do so and hit subscribe on YouTube too if you've not done so yet. All right, that's that. Another glimpse into the world of Lori Vallow-Daybell. Hit those comments. Want to hear you. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll speak again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.